you'd like to follow along with me in the scripture, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25. You can grab a Bible there that's somewhere in the aisle there, or just listen. But you're going to hear a parable of Jesus here. Jesus is still speaking in the context of issues relating to his second coming and the call for preparedness. And now he tells a parable. Beginning at verse 1, Matthew chapter 25, let us hear the word of the Lord. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, bless now your word as it's preached, as it's heard, as it's thought about, as it's meditated on. Help us to all engage with what your Spirit might be saying to us today. As we even sang that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh upon us. And we pray that in and through your word you might do that. You might help me and assist me in my weakness to speak, and then all of my brothers and sisters in their weakness to hear, because we know we are very dependent on you and on your grace to even be here. And so bless this time, O Lord. And at the end of this day, may we all say, "God, it's been good to be in your house, and you have spoken to us, and we are new for having heard from you." So bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was married on November 10th, 1990, in St. Louis, Missouri. I think a day or two before that, I got a haircut, and I didn't go to one of those, barber type guys that I usually would go to, which I think back then was, $5 a haircut. But I remember going to a little fancier place because I thought, I'll get my haircut good, which I did. I spent my last night as a single guy by myself in the Red Roof Inn in St. Louis, Missouri. It was where we were. I was living in Southern Illinois at the time, but had come to St. Louis, and my family was also staying at that hotel, and I had a room there by myself. I remember waking up in that morning thinking, this is the big day, and getting out of bed. And actually, I don't remember that much about that morning, but I do remember going and looking in the mirror and sort of having this moment of, you're going to be a married man by the end of this day. But what I do remember is that I shaved, which is not unusual. I shaved. I was really careful because I know I'm prone to, there's a couple spots that I'm prone to hit and I bleed. So I was really, really super careful. And then I washed all the shaving cream off my face. And I don't know what prompted me to do this, but I shaved twice. I don't know that. I don't think I've ever done that before, but I lathered up a second time. I'm going to make sure I got every single whisker. And I shaved twice. I guess I'm thinking I really want, you know, I want to be prepared. This is the big day. I want you to know that there's been a common theme here that Jesus has been talking about in this section of Scripture. It's actually going to continue for next few sermons. And they all have to do with preparedness for the big day. The importance of being prepared for the coming of Christ. You know, the whole thing about the servant who is supposed to be watching for the thief that comes speaks of preparedness, right? The wise servant and the bad servant, one who's prepared, one who's not. This parable of the 10 virgins has to do with preparedness, not being prepared. The sheep and the goats, which we're going to hit a little later, kind of again, those ready, not ready. And the parable of the talents, which we'll probably cover next week, also kind of has this idea of are you prepared? Are you ready? Be prepared, not just for Boy Scouts, right? So let's think about what this parable of the 10, sometimes this is referred to as the 10 virgins, could also be called the parable of the 10 maidens. What's in mind here are 10 young women who are functioning perhaps something like what we might think of as bridesmaids. Sometimes this is called the parable of the bridesmaids. But they are attendants at a very significant, important wedding. And it's a great honor to be called to this position of being an attendant at the wedding. And we don't maybe totally get all the traditions that are and customs that are being talked about here, but what appears to be in mind is something like a torch-lit procession at the climax of the wedding ceremony. So the climax of the wedding ceremony is a torch-lit procession that comes to the bridegroom's father's house, where there then is the final marriage supper and the culmination of the wedding. It might have something to do with this being something like an all-day party that perhaps begins at the bride's family's house, and then toward evening, a torch-lit procession that goes from the bride's family's house to the groom's family's house. That might be what's in light here. And then it's a torch-lit procession. The word lamp, it might mean lamp like we might think of an oil lamp, although there is actually a Greek word that we would guess would have been used if lamp was really the right thought here. A lot of people think that what's in mind here is something like a torch, like a stick with a wood or a wooden stick with like a rag wrapped on the end of it that is then doused in oil, something like this torch lit procession. So let's go with that image, that this is a torch lit procession. These 10 bridesmaids are very honored to be a part of the leading of this torch lit procession that culminates at the father's house and a final wedding ceremony, wedding supper. So 3 points here. That preparation it calls us to endure, it calls us to be wise, and it calls us to not be foolish. So from the bridesmaid's perspective, there's kind of a tension here. It's the wedding day. This is the big day. There's we're going to be a part of a torch-lit procession. So there's an expectancy that the bridegroom is going to emerge. It's interesting that the bride is not mentioned here. In fact, there are other later manuscripts that say bride and groom, but I think what's implied is this is a procession of the wedding party coming to the father's house. And so there's expectancy. The bridegroom is going to emerge here pretty soon, and we're going to lead him in this torch-lit procession. But there's also this delay in verse 5. He was a long time coming. Okay? He was delayed in some way. So the 10 bridesmaids go to sleep. Not necessarily, I think, a fault. All 10 of them actually go to sleep. But here's the point. Jesus is telling us that there's this tension that his people are living in regarding his coming that is on the one hand expectant, impending, okay? But also this sense of delay. He was a long time in coming. And I really think that is where the Church of Jesus Christ lives and has lived since the beginning of the Church, with this tension of he's coming, we should be expecting his coming, expectant, impending, but also this awareness of a delay. He's a long time coming. We live in the tension of that. And the first century church did too. Some of you may be aware that one of the criticisms that's made of the New Testament is that Jesus and the apostles got it wrong. As far as they thought that the coming of Christ was going to happen in their generation. Jesus and the apostles thought it was going to happen, and it didn't. They got it wrong. Boy, I think that's overly critical, right? What it really is just a true tension that exists. Jesus said he didn't know the day or the hour. So he says, you want to be an expectant people, expectant and prepared, but also with this awareness of you don't know the day or the hour. And so there's an unspoken period of time. The point being, to be prepared. Now, the five gals that brought the oil, what are called the wise bridesmaids, I really don't think are doing anything above and beyond the call of duty here. They just came prepared. I got my torch, I got my rag, I got my oil, and when the time is right, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to douse, light, I'm ready. The other group, the other five, don't bring oil. They're not prepared. I think that's the contrast. That's what's at stake here. So let's look at the wise gals, okay? They brought a jar. They brought oil. They were ready to go. Some people speculate, is the oil here, is that symbolic of something? Is the oil symbolic of faith? Perhaps it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Is it symbolic of good works? I think the answer is that we want to be careful not to over-allegorize the parable. I think the oil is just the general concept of being prepared. And it may include all those things. We could ask as a sort of secondary question, what does it mean for us to be prepared? Well, we could add, it means faith in Christ, right? We need to maintain our faith toward Christ. Engaging in means of worship, in means of grace. Certainly doing good works. Staying alert, staying repentant, staying ready. I think it probably includes all those things. The point is, we're called to be a prepared people. The wise bridesmaids, in their preparedness, show the significance that they place on this wedding. Right? I mean, they value what this wedding is all about. I mean, if you were, I've been a groomsman, I think twice, and I was the best man once. When you're called to be that, it's not a particularly hard job. You just come ready to stand where you're supposed to stand on that day, right? You come prepared, right? You get your tux or whatever, and part of the honor of that is that you're supposed to, at 11 o'clock, whatever, you're supposed to be standing right here or whatever. I think these girls that were wise were just, we were honored to be asked, and we showed up ready to go. Because we value the significance of what this wedding is all about. The foolish maidens, by their failure to bring oil, that communicates tremendous disrespect. Tremendous, you don't care. We just showed up, not prepared, not ready, even though we were asked, even though we were invited. Didn't bring oil. think that's really the fault here, right? And it's a tragic story because these gals who had been invited to the wedding, who I'm sure when the day started were thinking, I'm going to be at a wedding today. We find them wandering in the dark without light. It's not clear whether they ever found oil, but they imagine they made it to the door when it was too late. Procession was over, too late. And the comment coming from within the walls, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Dear friends, Jesus tells us this parable for our edification, for our instruction, for our warning. I think we all know that it's easy to get disoriented in this life. Sometimes our light goes to a low flicker. What makes the wise virgins wise is that they were understanding the value of what this wedding feast meant. What is this wedding feast after all? It's a picture of the kingdom of heaven, right? It's the picture of our salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the redeeming grace of God through the gospel. It's a picture of being called into being a covenant community, God's people forever, saved by His grace. That's the sense of what this banquet is all about. The wise virgin said, that's important stuff. That is valuable. And I am going to be ready. I am going to be prepared because that is important. But it's easy to lose sight of that, isn't it? Easy to have other loves that fill our vision. I don't know why these gals are so unprepared, but it does show a certain value system, right? That their values were elsewhere. They cared about other stuff than the value of this kingdom wedding feast. And we understand that, right? We get that. Other things that fill our vision, like money and driving for success, maintaining good looks, reputation. These things that become idols, that because they are idols of this world, are fading in nature and fleeting in nature and ultimately unable to fulfill, and so are destined to leave us fading, empty, the light of life flickering within us. I believe it was Thoreau that said, most men live lives of quiet desperation. And we know this, right? We live among zombies. We live and walk among the living dead. People detached from life, detached from meaning, detached from significance, wandering in the dark. This parable is for us a warning and an admonition as well as a word of grace. For it calls us to remember and put value in that which is most precious, most important. You have been invited to a wedding banquet. It's amazing grace. You got the invitation, right? What an honor that you've been invited to the wedding banquet. But see, there's a correct response then, right? That this invitation, this gracious invitation, means everything. What could possibly be more important than that? You and I live in amazing times. We live in this period of history between the two great comings. There's something about our faith that looks backward and something about our faith that looks forward. The first coming reminds us of the incarnate Christ, His life of humiliation, His death on the cross, His triumphant resurrection, and his ascension. And in that first coming that we look backward toward, we are reminded of a Christ who came to bear our sorrows and our sins. There is no sin too great that he cannot carry and atone for. There's no burden too heavy that he cannot carry for us. Gives us great hope as we look backward to the first coming, the man of sorrows who came to bear our griefs and our sins. There's real hope in that. But we also have a future looking forward to a second coming that speaks of a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth where our sorrows and our tears are no more, where the world is purified of all the horrible effects of the curse. And so we live between two amazing comings, dear friends. And because of the surpassing value of those two comings, well, stay oiled and keep lit. Let's pray. So I'm thinking here that there may be some of you, just keep your head bowed and eyes closed, who you might be feeling that your light is dying, it's flickering, and that's all the Christians some of the time, right? Some of the Christians all the time, perhaps. Remember Jesus' words when he said, "A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering flax he will not quench." And so he invites you and he invites me to come to him anew. To look to him as light, to turn to him as new life. So I'll invite you just in a moment here of silent meditation, that if you need to say anything to your Jesus, if you need to confess anything, or just be honest with him and tell him the truth about what's going on in your life, and that you need his fire to be rekindled in you anew. I'll just give you a moment to pray that. Our Father, we thank you that it's your house we've been invited to. A house of celebration, of music, of dancing, of a wedding supper, festive, joyful, reconciling, happy. We thank you that we've been invited to the Father's house. We thank you for the bridegroom who came to bear our sorrows and carry our sins, that by his stripes we indeed are healed. And we thank you for the new life that we have in him. We thank you for the fire of his new life. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would keep that fire warm and kindled, vibrant. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. O Lord, for your glory, for your name's sake, we pray. Amen.